WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Every Tuesday, we catch up with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines to get a handle on what the newsroom has covered, is covering, and will be covering in the future. We call it Kate Has a Plan. Today, we're talking theater reopenings, nursing homes, historic snowfalls, and birds. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Allison, and can I say that while movie theaters were closed, I was completely loving Lovecraft Country, and to hear Michael K. Williams was such a revelation in that show, so to hear you interview him was just great.
He's kind of an amazing actor.
Totally.
Seems like a really sweet person, too. Okay, movie fans, big news broke yesterday. Governor Cuomo announced theaters can reopen, so what are the details and the timetable?
Starting March 5th, New York City movie theaters can reopen at 25% capacity or no more than 50 people, whichever is the lower number there. This is kind of brings New York City into alignment with the rest of the state, which has had similar rules for a few months now. Things like masks will be mandatory, assigned seating, and advanced air filtration will be required of movie theaters. And, you know, the head of the AMC movie chain released a statement, I believe today, saying all 13 of its New York City locations will be open on March 5th. And this includes AMC Empire 25, the largest movie theater in the country, which is that giant 25-screen theater in Times Square. So that is big news.
What about when I think movie theaters, you start to think theaters? Is this any sort of forecasting for Broadway?
I think it makes it harder to keep Broadway closed. Now, you know, the Broadway League has said that no ticket sales, or if you have tickets to a Broadway show through the end of May, you can get a refund, you can exchange your seats. So it's kind of established wisdom that Broadway is going to be closed through that time. But Governor Cuomo has let the words Broadway, you know, slip from his lips recently because he is trying to open large venues if people get tested, you know. So, for example, tonight there will be fans in the seats at Madison Square Garden and the Barclays Center to watch the Knicks and the Nets play at limited capacity. Starting this Friday, indoor dining increases to 35% capacity, and next month we get wedding receptions of up to 150 people. So it seems like it's getting harder to make the case that Broadway should remain closed if all these other things are allowed to reopen.
What's been the response thus far?
Most people seem to be really pumped about movie theaters. It's been really interesting to sort of watch the people's risk assessment unfold in, you know, online and in life. You know, people saying they're way more comfortable in a movie theater where they can like double mask and, you know, sit far away from someone than with indoor dining. But, you know, we'll have to see how it works out.
An unnamed person on an unnamed Slack somewhere said of the movie openings, look, this is Cuomo saying, hey, look over here. Don't ask me about nursing homes. Cuomo was embroiled in this incredible story with his own party and with Republicans. What is going on? How has the story regarding the nursing homes evolved?
Yeah, he's managed to enrage both Republicans and members of his own party. This is since one of his top aides had a conversation with state legislative Democrats in which she admitted that the state intentionally withheld the true number of COVID-related nursing home deaths. Now, to a lot of people closely following it, this wasn't that big of a deal because we've known since, you know, the spring that the state wasn't counting nursing home deaths in hospital. in hospitals, only people who died in nursing homes. But this has enraged legislators who have been, you know, on the front lines getting phone calls from their constituents saying, I can't visit my mother and I don't know what's going on. Like, this was really traumatic for a lot of people. So now legislators are trying to wrap their heads and their arms around this in a variety of ways. So you have everything ranging from calls for impeachment. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez asked the Department of Justice to investigate. There's a whole lot of legislation being either talked about or introduced, you know, some that would come up with new enhanced nursing home regulations and some that would curb Cuomo's emergency powers.
Now, Cuomo had a pretty high and positive profile early on in the pandemic based on the way he's weathered storms in the past. Do people think that he will get past this on a political level? Or is this the kind of thing that causes long-term damage to someone's political reputation?
Well, I don't think he and Assemblymember Ron Kim are ever going to have a warm and fuzzy relationship after the events of the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Cuomo's going to survive this. Like, you know, just watching what happened in Albany yesterday, you know, the Senate passed its own nursing home legislation, but the Assembly is like, well, we want to come up with our own package, so we have to see what your package looks like versus our package. And Cuomo has said he's going to come up with his own nursing home legislation, and it's the same kind of split between the Senate and the Assembly on emergency powers. You know, the Senate is floating this idea of a 10-person commission that would oversee his emergency powers, and the Assembly is like, I'm not so sure about this. Meanwhile, Cuomo is, you know, there's nothing stopping him from running for a fourth term next year, and he has something like $17 million in his reelection fund. You know, this is a man who beat his Republican challenger by over 20 points when he ran in 2018. And against all of this is the backdrop that New York has to have a budget in place by April 1st. So we kind of don't have a lot of time to, you know, to fiddle about. Mm-hmm. We have a financial emergency going on, and we have to get this done.
I'm speaking with WNYC planning editor Kate Hines. So yesterday, the Supreme Court dismissed a case from former President Trump's legal team. So let's just get to the basics. What was the request and what does the dismissal mean for Mr. Trump in New York?
Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance in 2019 issued a grand jury subpoena to Trump seeking 8 years of his personal and corporate tax returns. Trump, of course, fought this every way possible. It went to the Supreme Court, which said, yes, the president can be investigated. Yes, the president can be prosecuted. And as of yesterday, yes, Cy Vance, you can get your hands on his tax records. So what is going to happen now is Trump's accountants, Mazars USA, are going to hand over, you know, 8 years worth of tax records and conversations and financial statements and all sort of paper communications. This is going to be collected by Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance, who has hired forensic accountants and has investigators looking at this. And one of the things he is looking at, and this is, as WNYC's Andrea Bernstein has reported, one thing that has been a pattern over the years with Donald Trump is when it's time to pay taxes, he says his properties aren't worth much. But when it's time for him to get a bank loan and he needs collateral, he says these properties are worth vast amounts of money. So then DA Cy Vance is looking at possible bank fraud and tax fraud.
Our friends at Gotham has reported that this month has been the eighth snowiest February on record. And I know you post pictures on Twitter of what the streets look like. And I went out and got coffee this morning and saw it's kind of a mess out there. Kind of a mess.
I mean, on the plus side, it's going to be melting. You know, we're on a steadily warming trend this week. But it's been grim. And the sanitation department has had a whole spotty, you know, a couple of weeks of garbage and recycling collection. And, you know, as WNYC reporter Stephen Nesson has reported, you know, normally they rely on this army of like day snow laborers. And in previous winters, we've had like 1,000 people a day shoveling streets. And now we're down to 300. So like the city has had to pull sanitation workers from their routes collecting, you know, garbage and recycling, tried to get them to dig out bus stops, street corners, and it's been really mixed. You know, people have been pretty unhappy. Compounding problems is the fact that one of the things that's kind of left to the city to do is if there's an empty, you know, people are supposed to be shoveling the sidewalks in front of their homes and businesses. And so many storefronts are empty right now that the owners are just not bothering to shovel the sidewalks, and it's just made it all the worse.
And finally, this morning you tweeted about the WNYC Peregrine Falcon. It's not our Peregrine Falcon.
No, it's my personal Peregrine Falcon.
What's going on with your personal Peregrine Falcon?
I have a whole invented life for this Peregrine Falcon in which it's looking for love and wants to build a nest on the water tower across the street. Whether or not this bears any relation to reality, I don't know. But it is reliably hanging out here, which is so cool because they are territorial birds. So if I see a Peregrine Falcon, it means there really isn't another one, you know, within quite a distance. They're endangered, so there's not so many of them. And we got one right across the street, so it's pretty great.
WNYC Planning Editor Kate Hines, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.